Okay, so this morning I'm going to focus mostly on the Tower of Babel. The conclusion of the Table of Nations in Genesis 10:32 is this. These are the clans that descended from Noah's sons, arranged by nations according to their lines of descent. All the nations of the earth descended from these clans after the great flood. After the flood, God said in Genesis 9:1, God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. That's the exact same command he gave to Adam. And the people did not acknowledge God, and therefore there was a flood. Genesis 11:1 says this, at one time, all the people of the world who spoke the same language and used the same words, as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. All the people spoke the same language, and they settled. That's not what God told them to do. And there begins the problem. Disobedience to the Lord's direction will always lead to more problems. Romans 10:21 says this, but regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. This disobedience and rebellion led to a statement in Genesis 11:3. This is the statement of the people. Let's make bricks and harden them with fire. Now, in this particular area of Babylonia, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used instead of mortar. Come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. That statement totally goes against what God said. Absolutely, there's unequivocally, it goes against what God said. And who did they think they were going to be famous to? They were it. And they talk about protecting themselves. From who? They were the only people in the world. I don't know who was going to accept their fame, except maybe they thought they could be better than God and prove themselves to him. Well, let me just say before I go any further, that will not work, trying to be better than God. So man, all of a sudden, our thinking is upside down. It's backwards. Instead of being submissive to the God who loves us so much, we want to prove ourselves. We want to be as good as we can be. And in essence, man, they used man-made materials to build this tower that they built. And they were going to build it to the sky. They were taking pleasure in themselves and in their abilities. Now, God created man with incredible abilities. There's really not much limit to what man can design. He's very capable. I fly in planes a lot, but not because I know how they stay up there. I don't get the aerodynamics thing and how when they take off and they get up to 30,000 feet, I'm still fine and they can serve me dinner. I don't understand that, but somebody did, and somebody developed it. And they created what could accomplish those things, and rockets. We sent a rocket to the moon. It was publicized all over the world. How about a cruise liner? If you go on cruises and you get on there and you think, I don't think this thing's going to make it. It's too heavy for the water, which is my perception of it. You would never go. But man understands those things, those principles. Skyscrapers. Seems like the bigger we can make them, the taller we can make them. Maybe we think we're going to reach the sky. Maybe we have the same mentality that these people did back in Genesis 11. Computers. When something happens to my computer, I call Thomas. because I don't know what to do. And sometimes he comes in. Now, this isn't always the case, and he would be the first to admit that. Sometimes he comes in, and in 2 minutes, my problem is solved. Sometimes it takes 2 hours. But it wouldn't matter how long I would look at it. It wouldn't get fixed. But men have created that. They have even come up with a program that if I type a message to my friend who speaks Japanese in Japan, when she gets it, it will be translated into Japanese through no thought of mine. So maybe we're trying to do the same thing. Maybe we're trying to make this one world government, because we certainly have lost our way in society as a whole. And we could go on and on. But the problem is that man becomes his own God. He's sufficient unto himself. Therefore, sin pushes in and takes him over very quickly. Takes over each individual, and then it takes over the whole. Unless there are individuals who choose to seek Jesus and the love of God. I'm going to address two issues that these guys who were building this tower had. The first one is pride. It's a subtle but destructive issue. And I'm going to share several scriptures concerning pride. Psalm 73:6. This is from the New Living Translation. The rest of them are from the New King James, but I thought this was so good I had to read it from the New Living Translation. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their heart could ever wish for. And I thought, well, that kind of says it. They build themselves up and they do whatever they want and they have whatever they want. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, this is a very familiar one. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And 19 says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Daniel 5:20, when he's speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, he says, but when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. 1 Timothy 3:6, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Let me say that again. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Pride was the issue that Lucifer had. He wanted to be better than God. He thought he could be. But he learned differently. But he's still trying. He's still trying because he tries through us now. And 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. When pride begins to work up in our lives, it leads to other things. And the one other thing I want to address is selfish ambition. It's an action with a goal that lacks consideration of others and is concerned chiefly with self, self-seeking, and self-serving. And the scripture for that, for selfish ambition, is James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's the second time we've had a scripture that compares it to demonic things. Pride and selfish ambition will lead to nothing but destruction, no matter what might look good along the way. So instead of those, we want to follow the example in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Paul's saying, God has provided a way. He has begun a work in us. And he will complete it unless we choose to sin, unless we choose to live a lifestyle of sin. Everyone sins. What we do with that and how quickly we confess it shows our maturity. So let's come back now for a minute to the Tower of Babel. God looks down on his people, and once again he realizes that it has become his responsibility to bring about his will and to make it a reality. God is sovereign. God will do and complete his purposes with you or without you. He is going to accomplish his purpose. Now, can you imagine? I even thought about bringing somebody who could speak a foreign language up here with me to show this illustration, but I didn't have time to get anybody. So you're working on a project with somebody. Let's say you're putting bags together for children who are in need, or you're working on the pastor's conference, and there's 10 of you working. Now, this was thousands of people building this tower. And you're talking about the job you're doing, and you're saying, well, this brick goes here, and this brick goes here, and you turn away to pick up another brick, and you come back, and you cannot understand what the person next to you is saying. What a shock that would be. What happened to you? And they're looking at you going, because they can't understand you. All of a sudden, I can't talk to the people I know. I can't communicate with them. God certainly is in control. And God will intervene when man is too full of himself to be obedient. Then I have this other picture of them. This tower was huge, and they were making it towards the sky, and it took thousands of them, I'm sure. And so then, what do you do when you can't understand the person next to you? Well, you go to the next person and see if they can understand you and you can understand them. Well, if they can't, you're going to look till you find somebody who can understand you, and then you're going to work with that person. And then you're going to go and be scattered. And those people became the people of God who would fill the earth because they decided they had a better plan than God did. So now, they're walking around trying to find all the people that they can understand, and then they move on. Now, considering all that we've talked about, I have a question for you. Are you being totally obedient to the Lord? He probably isn't going to move you to another country, and in all likelihood, when you're working on the next project you're working on, he's not going to change the language of the person next to you. He's already done that, and we already know what happened. He may take you around the world, but that'll be his will for you. And he may not do that, but it is your responsibility to be obedient if he would want to move you. But do you have inside yourself a little Tower of Babel that you're building? Maybe a little area in your life where you say, okay, God, you can have all of this, but I'm going to keep this one little thing. What happens is, because that's yourself, we start building that one little thing. And we build it and build it until there's no room for the truth or obedience anymore. Is there anything you're holding on to and building as a tower in your own mind or heart?